How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Many of us have been watching for, well, about a decade now, off and on, the growing number of what the surveys often call nuns, or none of the aboves, or religiously unaffiliated. That number is growing, and the people who are self-identifying as none of the above when it comes to their religious affiliation is also young and getting younger. What does that mean? Even while evangelicalism in America continues to kind of hold its ground, it loses members, but it gains more than it loses. It holds its ground and hovers. There are many on the American religion landscape are dwindling, are decreasing at an alarming rate. And some of those nuns are actually coming out of mainline Protestantism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend this entire hour talking about a new Pew Forum survey on America's changing religious landscape. Terry Mattingly will join us, and then a little bit later, John Green of the Pew Research Center will be with us. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to talk to you again.
Are we in need of a new term, especially journalistically, for Christians in America that are neither nominal, now quickly becoming the nuns, or evangelical?
Well, yeah, and stop and think about the challenge for a second. It's also got to be something that goes nicely in a one-column headline. Yet it also can't be judgmental, and it has to convey actual information. The term nuns is just so perfect. I used to write headlines all the time, and you were constantly trying to figure out what to do with a 36-point type one-column headline where you only had like room for like 5, 6, or 7 letters at the most. And nuns, N-O-N-E-S, is just perfect. And it's a concept that has just grabbed the imagination of American religion writers and political writers. It's important to remember, though, that within the nuns are several groups of people, and that's my comment on a lot of the writing about the Pew Forum thing, is that there's more complexity here than is making it into the headlines. The best reporters are getting the details and getting the nuance, but I'm not sure that a lot of readers of and folks on the evening news are getting it. First of all, the nuns are actual affirmed atheists, agnostics. And then even within the people who are unaffiliated, there are two groups. And those groups are people who just don't care about religion and are thus not affiliated with anything. And then another group that the press loves to call the spiritual but not religious. The people who they have their own private personal faith, but they're not going to put a name or a brand on it. Does that make sense? So even within the nuns, we've got four different groups of people. What really unites them when you dig down is, according to different researchers who've been working in this field for at least 20 years, what seems to unite them is the fact that they're almost all Democrats. They're almost all socially and morally liberal. And two researchers in New York City at secular universities have also said a high percentage of them of what they call anti-evangelical voters. And what they mean is what unites them is their antipathy to traditional religion, especially on moral and social issues. All of that's perfectly logical. And we've been watching that group tick up from like 11% of the population to 14% of the population to 18% of the population. We've been watching that percentage tick up for quite some time now. Now, in the middle, we have about 50% of the American public that I have always referred to as Oprah America. And this is a massive, vague group that you just called, for the most part, they can be described as nominals. They describe themselves as Christians, and if about 70, 72% of Americans call themselves Christians, somewhere between 45 and 50% of that number are the nominals. Then over on the cultural right, you have a group that's been very solid and very steady for a long, long time. And that's about 20 to 24% of the American public, depending on what survey you look at, that basically these are the folks who are trying to practice a religious faith on a day-to-day basis. Their religious beliefs affect how they live, how they work, how they raise their families, how many children they have, how often they go to religious sanctuaries, etc. That's the active folks. And one of the things that the press isn't getting right now is that that crowd are the folks that really decide whether churches decline and fall and grow. And that crowd is pretty steady. So I remember a number of years ago, and I've referred to this several times at Get Religion, and I wrote a column about it a number of years ago. Back in about 2008, the great researcher John C. Green of the University of Akron, who is frequently quoted in stories about the Pew Forum and has works with them a lot, John Green drew a chart up on the wall of my classroom in a media project meeting with journalists from around the world. And on this chart, he drew in about the 22% that were the active religious people. And then on the other side, he drew this crowd of the secular and liberal religious, the agnostic, atheist, spiritual but not religious, and unaffiliated. Remember, this is 2008. So this is 4 years before the nuns study came out. And he said, this group is growing. He said, we're going to end up with about 25% in this group and about 25% in the faithful religious, and all the action is going to be in the middle. And he said, it's the folks in the nominal middle who are sorting out into this nuns crowd. He said, so you look for the churches that have the largest number of people in the nominal Oprah America middle, and that's where the news story is going to be in the next couple of decades. Now, what he basically said in 2008 is everything that we've learned since then, right?
It raises a question for me, Terry, and that is, especially since the latest Pew research seems to indicate that people who had kind of populated, maybe the nominals who populated mainline Protestantism are now increasingly calling themselves nuns, self-identifying themselves as nuns. They're more comfortable doing it. Is that because they simply have another box to tick, another option to say, oh, I guess that's what I was all along. I guess I'm really just kind of a cultural I kind of like the idea of a church, but I don't really believe much of what historic Christianity teaches.
Well, I think you have to take seriously that it's becoming safer and safer in America to be a basically secular or unaffiliated person. And as easy as it is to point the finger at the mainline Protestants because their demographic decline has been so documented over the last 30-plus years, it's turning into a black hole when you consider their birth rates and their low birth rates and everything else. While that has been so documented, the other huge piece of news here is the degree to which Roman Catholicism is now functioning as a mainline Protestant church in America outside of its own 20 or so percent of truly faithful, devoted people. And for the first time in the Bible Belt, we begin to see that the churches that were the functional mainline of the Bible Belt, and that would be conservative mainline Protestant evangelicals, Southern Baptists, and other churches of that type, kind of the state church of Texas, as I would always say, that crowd is now beginning to slide into nominal and out into the world of nuns as well. So Bible Belt nuns is a perfectly valid story to take away from this, and you can see a lot of ink being shed right now on the internet by Southern Baptists who are really sharp and are looking at this. But, you know, when I saw that, it reminded me of an anecdote that I put in a post I just put up at Get Religion, and it dates back to a press conference with Billy Graham in the early 80s, and this was a press conference in Charlotte. And if I remember correctly, it was Graham was going to speak one night at a crusade led by the evangelist Leighton Ford, who, of course, is one of the senior secondary evangelists in the Billy Graham organization for decades, and his brother-in-law. And Graham noted that he actually prefers to do crusades in cities like Los Angeles and New York and Chicago rather than Bible Belt cities like Atlanta or Dallas, because in the Bible Belt, everybody thinks they're a Christian, but they're not, really. But in these cities that we think is highly secular, like New York and L.A., he said there's a higher percentage of people who are really honest about the fact that they're not believers and they're not churchgoers. He said, so the folks in the Bible Belt have been inoculated. I remember distinctly that was his word. They've been inoculated with just enough faith to feel safe, whereas people in other parts of the country are much more honest and candid. He says, and he finds it easier to talk to them about ultimate spiritual issues. Now, as I put in this post at Get Religion, he did not use the word nuns in like 1983 or 84, but he could have, because isn't that exactly what he's talking about?
I want to come back to something you mentioned at the beginning of your last response there, and if I heard you correct, you said that the Roman Catholic Church in America is functioning with laying aside the 25% of kind of the mass-going, confession-going Roman Catholics. It's functioning like mainline liberal Protestantism. Some people would consider that a gigantic oxymoron. Why isn't it?
Well, it's not. If you look at the parish life and the worship attendance and the birth rates and the Catholic school versus public school attendance patterns and stuff like that, the pew numbers are really shocking when you dig into the Catholic numbers. And essentially right now, you've got more people headed into the unaffiliated category out of Catholicism than anywhere else. And I think that if journalists are in a Western, Northern, or Midwestern zip code, and they're looking for the huge takeaway right now, they need to head to their local Catholic diocese and try to find out which parishes are growing, which ones are plateaued, and which ones are shrinking, and write that story exactly as if they were analyzing mainline Protestants, or even in terms of which ones are growing, just like they were analyzing Protestant megachurches or something like that. They need to just say, I'm going to take my I'm going to put new glasses on, I'm going to take my shades off, and I'm going to look at Catholicism as if this was a highly competitive church situation and try to figure out why some are in decline and why some are growing and why so many are either just plateaued or now are shedding nominal members. The Christmas Eve, Midnight Mass, Easter Catholic that everybody has referred to as the cultural Catholic, more and more and more of them are sifting into the non-Catholic or other unaffiliated, status.
Terry Mattingly is our guest, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. We're talking about the New Pew Forums 2014 U.S. Religious Landscape Study. When we come back, how does he evaluate media coverage of the study itself? Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the new Pew Forum survey, the 2014 U.S. Religious Landscape Study, and how the media is covering it or not covering it. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Terry, how would you evaluate, you said earlier that you're kind of happy with the way some of the outlets are digging into it. How would you evaluate generally how the media has been covering Pew's latest numbers?
Well, everybody's talking about the fall of Christianity, and that's too simplistic. Because the Christian spectrum of faithfulness in America is not shedding people equally. In other words, if you go to a really strong, growing, conservative, mainline Catholic or Protestant or evangelical church, they're not having their people turn into unaffiliated or nominals as much as the declining world. Let's put it in here. In my own church, in the world of Eastern Orthodoxy, I am sure that the rate of Eastern Orthodox who are turning into nominals and nuns is actually pretty high in some parts of the country. But I would predict, as Rod Dreher did in a post today, that most of that is in the kind of ethnically defined country club Eastern Orthodox world, that it's not in the world of growing Orthodox parishes that are making a lot of converts, that are seeing lots of folks show up saying, I'm looking for a beautiful, stable, creedal version of the faith. Show me what you got. It's just simplistic to say that Christianity is declining across the board. Now, you can say definitely that the nice, safe world of cafeteria Christianity from the middle, from that middle 50, the nominals, that world is in decline by all means. And that's a huge story, especially for folks, the delusional folks, I would say, who think they've been living in a Christian America.
So what's happening with the evangelicals? I seem to remember that we're looking here at a slow but steady increase for that self-identification.
Sort of. They're actually... They've increased in terms, they're one of the only groups that actually have made some converts to where they're gaining more people than they're losing. But as a percentage of the American population, they're actually down like 1%. And all of this pretty sharply parallels what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. And the Southern Baptist Convention is losing people to non-denominational megachurches, That's not a surprise. And then the Southern Baptist Convention also would be in pretty sharp decline if it was not for their growing ministries among Latinos, African Americans, and other ethnic groups, which points toward another story. Which parts of American church life are actually ethnically diverse? And I think a lot of journalists and a lot of readers would assume that liberal churches are more diverse than those conservative, narrow churches. When in reality, if you're looking for ethnically diverse churches in America, you are much more likely to find them among non-denominational megachurches, especially Pentecostal and Charismatic, Assemblies of God, and the Southern Baptist Convention. You're much more likely to find multiracial church leadership and membership in the pews than in the historically more doctrinally liberal churches such as the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutherans. And I would ask you, how ethnically diverse are the Missouri Synod Lutherans these days?
Oh, I mean, I would say we are about as white bread as any denomination is, perhaps with the exception of the Episcopalians.
At which point, that might have something to do with why Missouri Synod Lutherans statistically function like a mainline church, even though their theology isn't, which makes them one of the most intriguing groups of people to study in American Protestant life right now. They have evangelical and conservative and traditional theology, but sociologically, the Missouri Synod Lutherans tend to function more like mainliners. So that would be an interesting crowd for journalists to dig into as well. Let me send some heat your way there.
Absolutely. So if we're talking about two questions here. If we're talking about a shift in the religious landscape generally in America, how would you put it into a sentence or two?
We're having fewer people who are hanging on to their old religious labels just because their parents and grandparents did. That's how I would describe it. You know, the old saying that God has no grandchildren is a way of thinking about it. Religious, you cannot inherit a living faith. At some place, you either get it yourself, get it from your parents, but you're fewer and fewer Americans are just hanging on for the sake of hanging on. Which gets us back to your original question, is what do you call the people who really are practicing the faith? And I would call them creedals, except they don't all have the same creed. It's that they really live and practice the creed they've got, you know, whatever that is. So maybe it's creedals with a small c. I mean, you'd have to put the Mormons over there, for example. And they're not exactly Nicene Creed Christians, but you better believe that they're doing a pretty good job of handing down the specifics of their faith to their children and to their grandchildren, and statistically, they're holding their own. So I don't know what you call that 20 to 25% over there, but that's a story that you've got to tell at the same time that you tell the story of the nominals turning into the unaffiliates. Because if you don't tell that story, you don't figure out several things. You don't figure out who are the people that the Republican Party is having to take into account, because most of them are pretty conservative on social issues and are trying to find some way to pull a knob in a voting booth that they truly believe in. At the same time, you've got to try to figure out what Catholic churches are producing priests and which ones aren't, which ones have schools and which ones don't. You've got to try to figure out who the conservative evangelicals are if you're going to make sense of the emerging liberal evangelicals. Somebody's got to do some reporting on that 25% over there on the right, or you don't have the full picture of the landscape that Pew is mapping.
My last question for you, you've mentioned at least two cases here, John Green and Billy Graham, of people who had their ear to the ground and saw this coming, understood what was happening before practically anyone else did, trying to communicate that to both theologians and journalists as well. What If you had a question that you could ask John Green today about what we'll be looking at 20 years from now, not in the not 90s into the teens, but now up into the 30s, what would that question be?
Yeah, well, let's give a shout-out here to the late George Gallup, Jr., because Gallup has had his finger on that 20 to 24% as well. And he also did a lot of research into the 40% of Americans that describe themselves as evangelicals. And George Barna and company, and now the gang at Lifeway, they have been pursuing this over the last 10, 20, 50, 25 years as well. So there are people doing this work. And the Pew folks, especially John C. Green, who works with Pew a lot, they know that's over there. But they're, of course, like all journalism-friendly people, they're pointing their finger at the new hot subject, which is the nuns. If I was asking John Green a question today, I would ask him exactly what I asked him in 2008 when he put that thing up on the board. I asked him if he could ever see in his mind an America in which the percentage of truly doctrinal, traditional, religious believers, whether they're Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, whatever, could he envision America in which that number went under 20? And he said he really couldn't. And that he thought that the religious life and history and heritage of America was strong enough that he couldn't see that going under 20. But if you change it from an America where you've got 20% strong believers, 50 to 60% nominal believers, and that adds up to 80, and then you've got 10, 15% atheists. If you change that into an America where the unaffiliated and the atheists and the agnostics are now 25, 30, 35%, and if they're all voting for social issues reasons, straight Democratic Party ticket, at that point, he noted, the Democratic Party has to take those people into account to the same degree that the Republican Party has struggled to take into account the religious right and the religious traditionalists. That's a huge shift in the Democratic Party, especially for the Democrats who are still churchgoers, the African Americans and Latinos and others. That would explain, perhaps, a lot of the Democratic Party's strategies related to religion in the last 10 or 15 years, where some people have said they've grown increasingly hostile to traditional forms of religious faith. Well, that's looking at it in the negative. If you state it in the positive, maybe the Democrats are just trying to take care of their base.
So they're answering to the religious left.
Well, but the religious left is now the unaffiliated spiritual religious left, right? All of those groups align on social and moral issues and really function as one camp. You can't just call it the religious left because it's bigger than that. But, boy, that is an important thing to keep your eyes on.
One more question. It puts me in mind of something. I think it was he was either as Cardinal Ratzinger or as Benedict, Pope Benedict, said at one point, I believe it was early in his tenure in the papacy, that Roman Catholicism would likely have to become smaller to remain faithful, I think is what he said.
Yep.
Was he also seeing the same thing?
Yes, that's exactly what he was seeing. And sociologically, we've heard this discussed quite bluntly among Jews for decades now. And the phrase that you would see in post-Holocaust studies of Jews would be fewer Jews, but better Jews. Fewer people hanging on to the cultural ties, but perhaps more people practicing the faith. Well, that is what Benedict was talking about with Catholics. At some point, they're going to have Good Friday before they get to have Easter.
Do you have a suggested term for my first question?
I don't, and I'm working on it. I really don't know. You can't just call them the faithful. You can't call them the pew sitter. I mean, I've been sitting here thinking of all kinds of words, and I haven't come up with one yet. So I ended my post at Get Religion asking people to be nice, don't be nasty, don't, for example, just do what a lot of journalists might do and call them bigots. Don't go nasty on me, but propose some names. So let's point listeners in that direction. Get over to getreligion.org and give it a shot.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of getreligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
You bet.
When we come back, Dr. John Green will join us. We'll talk with the guy who probably knows more about this than anybody else. We'll continue our discussion of the Pew Forum survey on America's changing religious landscape. We'll start with that question that I asked Terry. We'll be right back.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.